The RTE GAA Podcast with Damien Lawler.
Dublin stride to their biggest championship win under Jim Gavin, and Down caused the shock of the championship. Welcome along to this week's RTE GAA Podcast. We're joined by former Offaly star Ryan Malone, but first, Tommy Lyons, the ex-Dublin manager, joins us to give his thoughts on another interesting weekend for the Dubs.
Dubs powering forward now with Eric Lowndes as the option to go out too, with Dean Rock with it, and here's the chance for the goal, and the goal is in the net. The goal was coming, and Rock has fired home the Dubs' first goal of this year's championship.
And Down have won it back in their own half. It's close to full time as we move it forward again. And away comes Down with great pace and great attack. Kevin McKernan is up in attack, taking the shot and sending it over the bar. A point for Down, and it's been scored by O'Hare, stemming the ball in and sending it over the bar. Right down.
Tommy, did you see that huge margin of victory coming through?
Well, I wasn't at all concerned after the Carlow game because, you know, the word around the city is that they're building up for the season. And, you know, I think there's a lot of the real bones for Dublin is of a lot of young players looking for to get a jersey. And I think, you know, Jim Gavin is no different to Brian Cody and the other code that you earned the right for the jersey and prove that you want it. And I suppose Westmeath were just unlucky that they came across a group of young lads who were given jerseys today who just want to prove that when the team is picked the next day, they're going to get a jersey. And that's the real strength Dublin have right now. If you're a young man there trying to make that team, you know, Philly McMahon wasn't there today, Paul Flynn, yeah. You know, these are all, you know, Michael Darren McCauley, I think his injury might be more long-term. But, you know, these are all really serious players, Bernard Brogan, who have been there, Kevin McMenamin. They didn't start today, and the guys who got those jerseys certainly don't want to give them back, and that's what it looked like.
Yeah, you're dead right, Tommy. There's a huge competition there again. As you said, the word around the city is that maybe the feeling was they kind of crept over the line in the past season or two. Tommy, Jim Gavin took the decision to take a 5 or 6 week break mid-season from collective training. What would be your thoughts on that? It seems to be a case of trying to peak properly again.
I think, you know, nobody can be telling Jim what he needs to be doing. But, like, there's no question they have all the tools, technology, and know how fit players are, where they're at in relation to their fitness levels. And I'm sure Jim must have sat down with his whole group and decided that the thing was ticking along nice and that maybe what they wanted this year more than anything else is a bit of freshness. And hence he gave them 5 weeks back with their clubs, which ironically enough, you know, anyone that knows club football in Dublin, that there was two rounds of the championship played. So, you know, they're very competitive games in their own right. So it wasn't that they were back, you know, gone to Spain with their feet up. You know, they were back playing with their clubs. And you know, I think that gives the clubs a lift. I think he got a very really positive response from everybody on that.
And Tommy, you know the way we chatted about how intense the competition for the bench was. Do you think there's any danger of maybe the more experienced players just gone off the boil a little bit or gone a little bit flat in recent months? Would you have any concern about that, or is it that nonsense?
I think it's too hard to judge whether players are flat or not flat, or where have the hunger for this year or not. Dublin play the second round of the Leinster Championship, and they're now into a Leinster final. I think that would be another step up in performance required to win that. Kildare are nobody's fools. They've just got into a Division 1 for the first time in a while. They had a fierce bad championship last year. You know, they've had a fancy meet team quite comfortably down in Tullamore. Kildare haven't played at the level Dublin played at today. I think it's going to be a very different game. One thing for certain, Kildare will have fitness levels better than Westmeath today. And I think, you know, Westmeath are the two games there, 1 week after the other. I think this is their third game on the run. And that sometimes, when you're coming out of Division 3 or 4, is a lot more difficult to do than if you're a Division 1 or 2 team.
The squad looks to be galvanised as well, Tommy, even at this early stage of the year. Going for 3 in a row, it hasn't been mentioned much in the media. Do you think any talk like that could be outside noise or a bit of a nuisance going ahead?
I'd say they don't talk about that at all. I would suggest that these Dublin players are very lucky players to be in a unique position, talking out for their county with all this fantastic achievement behind them. They now have another group coming along who maybe have only won one All-Ireland, not four, and they see that they want to attain to another level. And, you know, I think from Dublin's perspective, that could only be a good thing. You know, there's a lot still to be played for in this All-Ireland. There's nothing won by anybody yet, and we got a big shock with Monaghan and Down. And I think there'll be a few more shocks in the next couple of weeks. And you know, people have been writing off Cork there that they were the worst performance they ever saw in the Cork team and all that. You watch Cork next day against Kerry, it'll be a different game. And that could be a very close encounter, because these local rivalries go like that, Damien. And I think Dublin's positions are playing Kildare, and they're going into it absolutely, you know, the media. But, you know, as we all know, the media and the punditry and all, these guys are just filling spaces and talking on the TV sometimes for the sake of talking. You know, they talk down Dublin after Carlow, and anybody who knows anything about football would know that Dublin just went down, got the business done to come home. That's what they did. And I was delighted today to see some of the young players for Dublin stepping up. And I was delighted to see Paul Mannion coming back, showing the form that he showed, you know, in 2000 and what was it, 13? When was that the year
he played?
And then he went to China with college and doing a business degree in China. And, you know, he was really without a football for 12 months, and it just shows you it takes that long when you come back into a team that's performing to get the jersey again. And, you know, he got his jersey today, and it'll be a good man that'll take it off him for the next day, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And Conor Callan looked very well at the start of the game too, Tommy.
He did. And, like, people were very critical of him against Carlo. You know, but Carlo was played in four men in front of him, 21 years of age, trying to win ball. You know, he was very good today. He showed quite well. I thought he was quite composed. But, you know, it's only one game on a career for this young man. Like, I mean, I would be surprised if he makes it all the way when everybody's back. And if he does, it means he'll have grown leaps and bounds in every game. He's quite capable of improving significantly in every game. And that'll be the difference for Dublin. If two or three of these young guys can actually keep the jerseys, that'll turn up the heat on everybody.
And when Dermot Connolly does return, and Tommy, the whole country's sick of talking about the incident, so let's avoid that. But when he does come back in, do you think he'll have a point to prove, or do you think he'll have salt in his mouth, ready to go?
I think Dermot Connolly's season is over, to be honest with you. I think it'd be very hard for Dermot Connolly to keep training, to keep match fit, and to be match fit come next end of August if Dublin are still in the championship. I cannot see how you could train and play, you know, and do all that and be actually match fit come that time. I struggle to see it now, Damien. I think, you know, he will struggle to get back to that pitch. You know, if Dublin are in All-Ireland semi-final, I couldn't see Dermot Connolly starting that game in any circumstances.
Could you not, Tommy?
No, I couldn't, because I think Dublin are giving jerseys to guys now that might want to give them back. And what work can Dermot do? You know, there's no substitute for having the whites of the eyes of championship football. And, you know, Dublin, people are talking about they have to win a Leinster final, then they'll have to win a quarter final before you can talk about Dermot Connolly being available for selection. I'd be staggered if he was picked for an All-Ireland semi-final if Dublin got there.
Because even the A versus B training games, he'll only have a limited chance to get into them to prove his fitness before the games as well.
Absolutely, and I just think it's going to be very difficult for him. You know, he's a very fine talent, but like Dublin have a lot of other fine talents, and that's what they have right now. And it's a very big positive for the Dublin management team. You know, and I thought, you know, when you looked at Eric Lowndes today, you know, I thought he really did well. So if you were Philly McMahon sitting in the stand looking at that, you'd be saying, right, that's my jersey there. He's wearing number four. Right?
Yes.
You know, Fitzsimons, you know, Fitzsimons didn't put a foot wrong again after, you know, his wonderful end of season last year. He seems to have not wanted to let the jersey go either. So I think that's the positive for Dublin out of these wins. The scoring and how much to win by is not relevant.
Tommy, there's no training you can do to replicate what you get in Croke Park on Championship Day, really, is there? You can spin on bikes all you want, you can pound the pavements, but it's that match sharpness, that pitch, as you say.
I think it's very difficult. If Dublin come through at the Leinster final and come through, you know, quarter final, it'll be a tough match no matter who you're playing. And Kildare, so if they beat Kildare, that'll be a tough match. Then to get into a quarter final, that'll be another tough match. You know, unless there was a series of injuries that let him be available, I can't see it. But maybe, you know, I'm not the manager, thank God. I wanted that decision to make.
you were there for big enough calls in your own time. Just when you were there, Tommy, I know the media latched onto you pretty quickly, but you were trying to do a job and you had Croke Park filled with your teams and you're trying to win an All-Ireland. I suppose Jim Gavin's gone a very different way, and every manager differs. You know, everything is kind of maybe cooled down to the last and the nth degree. But at the end of the day, really, does outside noise have any influence at all, or do the players take cognizance of anything that's written or said in the media? Because I have my doubts, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe not now, but certainly when I was there, certainly some of the senior players in 2003 would have felt I was bringing pressure on top of them by being very vocal. So in 2004, I spoke to nobody that year, and including RTE. So, you know, the players asked me not to, so because it didn't bother me one way or the other. And I think all these things are peripheral issues. I think they're not really relevant to the core values that you have as a squad. And I think the core values that Jim and his management have put together here with these bunch of players is that, you know, they're prepared to work really hard for each other, and they're prepared to be really strong out there in the pitch. They're as disciplined as you can be in the white heat of battle. You know, nobody can tell me that you have an absolute perfect group of players where the discipline is 110% and nobody breaks rank, because, you know, it is white heat of championship. They are amateur players, and things happen that things happen and you just have to deal with them and get on with it. I just think that there's a really good setup there, and that, you know, I know a lot of those young men, and they're fine young men, and they don't look like they have any egos, or they don't look like that they're, you know, that's a very strong reflection of the management team.
Tommy, a word from your former county, if you want to put it that way, Offaly. You were with them and brought them to great success in Leinster 97, and you lifted the mood and morale of the team when you were in charge. I was watching them play Cavan in Tullamore, and you had more Cavan supporters in Bordnamona Tullamore than you had Offaly supporters there. They lost by 4 points. They've gone downhill, at a steady rate. What would be your thoughts on the battle that a county like Offaly faces when you play the likes of the Dubs?
Playing Dublin is a different thing, but I think there's no excuse whatsoever within our organisation that you cannot be competitive within your peer group. And whatever that peer group is at any given time, you should be very competitive to it. And I think that's what we need to start analysing as an association. Is you can't be always aspiring to be Dublin, Kerry, Tyrone, Mayo, you know, these top six or eight teams. But I think everybody has to be given a level that they can play to, and then improve them there to develop the next stage. And, you know, when I went down to Offaly, like, there was no question I found really good footballers. Don't anybody think that I made footballers out of it. I didn't. I found really good footballers. And, you know, we often joked about getting them fit to train. You know what I mean? But, like, they had lost their way in just putting structures to them. And, you know, we actually met there last week or 2 weeks ago for a drink. You know, they're all still fresh-boned young men still, you know. Like Ryan Malone is just, what is he, 40 years of age? I believe, and I'm really passionate about this, that there's no county cannot compete within its own peer group. I think we need to start developing the association to give these teams proper chances. You know, I see, you know, Johnny McGee has gone from Wicklow now, and Wicklow didn't win a game probably, or only won a couple of games under them there in the championship. And, you know, weren't they competitors of their peer group? No. So in the end of the day, you know, people have to start looking at themselves as counties, you know, to develop this whole ability to get the best you can of what you have. You know, they can't aspire to win All Ireland or win even Leinster at this stage, but they should be able to say, we're going to beat Westmeath and Tullamore. We're going to, you know, get to the next level. We're going to win a couple of rounds of the qualifiers. That is progress then. So when you set down again next October, November, start training the league, you've made progress. You know, it's me. They should be able to beat Cavan in Tullamore. And that would have been a major success for Offaly this year.
You mentioned Johnny McGee, and that's fair enough. I know Johnny tried very hard to get things going in Wicklow. It didn't happen. Colin Kelly achieved back-to-back promotions with Louth, and then the week before his first championship match this year, one of his best players, Derek Maguire, the wing-back, went to the States. Now, fair play to Derek. I'm sure he's other things to pursue in his life as well. Last week then, maybe within two defeats, Colin resigned as Louth manager, and that was a county and a team that was seen to be on the up.
And I'd say he's resigning because of frustration of lack of commitment.
That's what I was
going to say. But lack of commitment comes for two things. One, young people nowadays who are 18, 19, 20, 21, they get a couple of opportunities to travel for the summer. And it's unfair to make the demand that they don't travel just to play Gaelic football. And it's when Colm knew about that guy travelling is the key. If he knew last January or February the kid was travelling, then for me there's no issue. It's an overhyped thing. If he told him the week before he was travelling, that's a big issue. And that's lack of respect and lack of common manners, which, you know, is a different thing. I think Colin Kelly has done a really good job. I've been watching now. We're watching the results. And, you know, the county board should be fighting to try and get him to stay again. And again, what I think a lot of counties like Louth should have is they should have the man under Colin Kelly work him as the number two, and he moves up to number one. So there's continuity in all the work that's been done. rather than starting off again from fresh. You know, like Johnny's now gone from Wicklow, there should be a guy, part of his management team should now be able to step up and take it on. And that's the way you get progress, because then you're not having these massive choppets and changing and, you know, big clear out and new brew with clears all and start again. Because I think counties don't have the player volume to do that. And I just think they need to, you know, county boards need to have very clear investment plans in their county teams from under 14 up. Okay. And I do really believe that it's doable, and I do really believe that we can close, you cannot close to Dublin and Kerry in these top six, but you could have an awful lot more competitive football with the rest. And then all of a sudden, if you get that going for a year or two, then you get another three or four jumping across.
Okay, and finally, Tommy, to Saturday night and a shock in Ulster, down 1-14, Monaghan 15 points. I would have seen Down played twice, three times during the league. They didn't impress me one bit. The year before, they were worse. I didn't see that victory coming. I don't know that anybody. Did you see it?
And here's your brother, Damien. And you know, I certainly was watching it, and I couldn't see how they were going to win. I listened to Kieran Whelan and Desi Dolan beforehand, and, you know, the dangers of punditry, you know, and like, you know, they were just genuinely calling it the way they saw it, and I couldn't have disagreed with anything they said. But yes, after 5 minutes, when Monaghan kicked two or three bad wides, you just felt something, you know, and I just felt that Monaghan weren't sharp enough, and they looked like they just weren't sharp on the day. And that shows you, if the minds aren't right, the body won't do what you want it to do. And it was just, I think it was great for the championship, to be honest with you.
It blew it open, Tommy.
It was a big blow for Monaghan, because I would have felt that they thought they were going to try and win an Ulster and get to an All-Ireland semi-final this year. I'd say that was their real goal. Now, it's still doable for them through the back door, because they're still a fine team. But Down just went for the juggler, To me, they deserve to win it. And okay, they were hanging on in the end, and McCarron kicked a bad wide from his side. And, you know, you could see that it just was a great win. I think it was a great boost for the championship.
Tommy Lyons, former Dublin and Offaly manager, great to talk to you again. And thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Damien.
The RTE GAA podcast.
Yes, well, Offaly hosted Cavan in round 1B of the qualifiers in Tullamore on Sunday evening. I suppose in the end, it was a four-point victory, an expected victory, Roy Malone, for Cavan. They came down and they did the job, and it took until the second half to get where they wanted to get to, but they got there.
Yeah, coming here today, not a lot of people would have given Offaly a chance. We performed pretty poorly last week with a crushing defeat to Westmeath. Cavan had a pretty good performance against Monaghan. Added to that, an extra week to recover, to mentally get the heads right and get the bodies back in shape. So, listen, you would have been expecting maybe a 7 or 8 point win for Cavan if truth be known. But in the first half, you know, Offaly competed well. Against the breeze, they went at Cavan, and 2 points down at halftime wasn't an unfair reflection. That optimism was short-lived as the second half, Cavan just stepped up the gear. They got bodies back. They were turning over every Offaly attack. Their superior physicality really showed. They cut through the middle time and time again. You could really see that it was Division 1 versus Division 3.
A lot more Cavan supporters at the game, Roy. You guys narrowly avoided relegation in the National League, and I suppose it's not July yet and you're going out of the Championship. Would there be an apathy about the county, about the football team at the moment?
There would. There's an apathy with, I suppose, our hurlers and our footballers in the county at the moment. But that apathy, I think, is pretty prevalent around the country. I think that there's outside, maybe from a football point of view, outside maybe 6, 7, 8 teams, you know, the rest really, really aren't at the races, you know. So I think that sort of apathy is, as I say, prevalent all over the country with football at the minute.
Do you think it'll be hard for Offaly players to come back next year again? Like, Niall McNamee only came on near the end of the game, and Alan Mulhall has been a real stalwart in goals. Could we see those players again, do you feel?
I fear that we may not. Definitely, it's with a real heavy heart and with a lot of sadness that I say that could have been Niall McNamee's last time in an Offaly jersey. Niall, arguably, was probably one of Offaly's best forwards since Matt Connor, and he's really, really served his county well. He doesn't know Offaly anything.
Pat Flanagan has been in charge for 3 years, Roy. I know you can't speak for him, but do you feel that he might move on himself now? Because I suppose it hasn't been a massively productive time. Then again, he could argue his resources are quite limited too.
I suppose managers are based on results, and maybe if that was the case, you know, I think probably Pat has had one championship win in 3 years, which probably isn't good enough, you know. Generally, I think the manager's tenures are in around a 3 year period. You'd have to say that a change is probably imminent.
You played in an era where it was pretty fast and pretty furious, but there was room for flair and a bit of flamboyancy as well. You won a Leinster medal in 97. You know, there seemed to be an enjoyment about the way your Offaly team played the game. Do you think there's a fear about how inter-county footballers go about their jobs now? And I don't mean just from your county.
What I see with football now, and it's probably prevalent more so among Division 3, Division 4 teams, and maybe Division 2 teams also, that managers all seem to be playing with the same sort of systems. And every team seems to be playing with a system now. I think that their managers have instilled fear into players. There seems to be this fear of giving away the ball. Statistics seem to be playing a huge part of Gaelic football at the minute. Whatever you do, don't give away the ball, you know, which... You know, if Offaly had have maybe pushed forward in the drawing game against Westmeath here in Tullamore, we were playing with a storm after playing quite well against the wind. It was 6 points apiece, I think, at half time. We just failed to push forward, failed to push bodies forward, and failed to kick the ball whilst playing with a storm. That sort of fear seems to be instilled in players. I wonder, is there much enjoyment in the game for a lot of county footballers?
It's funny you should say that. I brought my young fella down to football training this morning. He's just gone six, and a lot of the skills the coaches focused on were kicking. And I was shaking my head in the sideline because I admired the volunteers for putting their time in. But the way the game is at the moment, there's no way in high hell he'll ever have to kick the ball if he does go onto any sort of a level, because people are afraid of kicking the ball away and losing the ball. And can that be rectified over a short period of time, Roy? Or is it going to take a complete mindset to shift the way the game has gone at the moment?
I heard a few debates about it over the weekend there, and the suggestion that maybe reverting to 13 aside might open the game up a bit and you know, negate all these type of defensive systems that seem to be in place. It might be worth trying maybe in the Auburn Cups and the McKenna Cups and that, and see what way it works. Definitely, you know, the way the game has gone now, there's only a few teams playing football that, you know, seem to be anyway enjoyable or enjoyable to watch. The game has really, 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 it's gone backwards in the last few years. And you can see it at club level as well. Teams are employing these defensive strategies. Don't give away the ball. Don't kick the ball. You know, kicking the ball, you know, it doesn't seem to, you know, that's why you play football. I played football because it was enjoyable. I enjoyed going, getting the ball, trying to take on a man. You know, you might lose the ball, but what the hell, like, you get another chance, you know.
Final question for you, Roy. Can anybody stop Dublin this year?
Looking at Dublin today, they seem to be just back into gear again, you know. Dublin are, without doubt, one of the finest football teams that's probably ever played football, you know. I don't think Kerry will stop them. I don't think Mayo will stop them. I think maybe the only team out there that might just come up with some sort of a plan, maybe Tyrone. But even at that, I think Dublin will be All-Ireland champions in September again.
Ryan Malone, thanks for your thoughts, and we'll catch you throughout the season again.
Thanks, David.
And there you have it. My thanks to Roy Malone and Tommy Lyons. From myself, Damien Lawler, and series producer Barry O'Neill, thanks a million for listening.